There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday, hour number two. Glad you're along, and lots going on this weekend and also going on right now. Our buddy Jeff Poore in studio. So you want to talk about state politics? We can do that. And, of course, we're going to switch it to federal politics here in just a second. Lineup of some things going on. You got Try the Gulf tomorrow, that triathlon. Now, lucky for the participants in Try the Gulf, they shut the registration off before I could get in to win this triathlon here, but you know, they were very lucky. So those of y'all that place high tomorrow, you're one ahead of where you would have been if I was allowed to register. But for the rest of us that want to check it out and watch it, they were saying to get down the island early because when they get cranked up, you know, the bicycle portion will take those riders over the Dolphin Island Bridge and circle and coming back. So obviously at that point, they'll have the bridge shut down to one lane. So you'll be have sheriff's deputies take you over and back. It's going to be a slowdown there. So get there early. The swimming is first, then bicycling and running, all out of the clubhouse there at the golf course. So that's going on tomorrow. Try the Gulf at Dolphin Island. Greek Fest goes on today and tomorrow. Also, of course, football games as well. So a lot going on. Get out and enjoy it. The weather looks pretty good. Dr. Bill says some quick passing showers tomorrow and then cooling down, high just in the 70s by Sunday. All right, we bounce it around some things. Number one, just I want folks to, and if we can find a copy of that ad, I'm going to maybe run it later or next week because I think it's good for people to hear. Because when we're, you know, ads run down here and politicians speak, and I'm on board too because I'm a homer, you know, that they took our BP money.
Right.
Right. And what they're taking elsewhere. People need to know that in the Birmingham market or the Huntsville market, they're talking about that we're taking their money to build bridges. And you know what? We're building bridges, I would say, to get people from Birmingham and Huntsville down to the beach. But
well, and it works on people. Like my mom listens to talk radio in Birmingham religiously. And she says, well, they just want to raise a gas tax on me so that they could build them a bridge down at the beach. And I don't like that. I think they need to fix I-65.
Right.
And you can imagine similar conversations like, 565 needs some work in Huntsville. They're building a Toyota Mazda plant here, right. And it's just a four-lane interstate. That's not going to be nearly enough.
So you're saying if you're not looking outward, you look inward, you get this idea that everybody's coming after us, but at least they're playing that elsewhere in the state that we're coming after their Birmingham money or we're coming after their Huntsville money.
Right. And they don't, I mean, obviously, there are places in the state that are you know, that are givers, and there are some that are takers. But I think the view up there is that they're the givers. And
right, but you know what? This could be solved by just an audit, right? That shows where the dollars come from. I mean, I'm simplistic enough to have looked at some of those lists that came out, and I think it was as a county, Baldwin County was either number one or number two of the biggest sales tax revenue going to the state of Alabama.
Well, let's just, you know, take the perception is what matters in politics, right?
Well, see, but that's, I'm here to undo those shoelaces, but yes.
But so that's the tactic being used. Now, you could say, well, we could audit this and we could show X, Y, and Z, and then by that point, people, they're lost.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, it's the same argument I've had all week.
What's an effective way to combat that?
And I don't know. So what is?
I mean, why is a group, why is somebody spending money on this to make this kind of controversy? Why is this being presented to people in Jefferson County and Shelby County in that market? Why are they being made to believe this? What do they want? What are they trying to get out of it? And I do think there's a lot of lot of questions I have about it. So I think, why would you be opposed to the beach? But it does, you know, if there's municipalities around Birmingham that don't think they're getting their fair share.
Does anybody, has there ever been an area of any state or municipality, any state said, it's really equitable. This is a great deal. We get exactly what we're supposed to.
And like, you talk to these mayors and these county commissioners at places around Birmingham that are really growing and growing and growing and growing, and they don't have the infrastructure to sustain this growth. I talked to the mayor of Helena, Alabama, and you know, they have been talking about building a – Helena's kind of one of these places that's kind of off the path. It's away from the interstates.
Mm-hmm.
It's away from the major thoroughfares, and they need a major thoroughfare going because just the way it's growing, they believe they actually – there are people sitting in traffic trying to get to the interstate so they could get into Birmingham to work, believe that the reason they're not getting their four lane to the interstate to get to work for their commute is because ALDOT – for whatever reason, is taking that money and they're spending it elsewhere. Now, they may be spending it elsewhere. They are spending it elsewhere because nothing's been done on this project in 20, 30 years. But they're running into the problem of competing against, because the city of Birmingham has a powerful lobby and influence.
Sure.
You know, they
sure.
have all the lawmakers. That's why we're always talking about roads getting fixed in Birmingham at Malfunction
yeah.
Junction, right?
Yeah.
But I think the idea is to at least say, hey, look, Baldwin County makes for an easy villain in this situation.
Which is so weird, this is good for people down here to hear. In Baldwin County, I mean, y'all listen to this, because you get this idea, because we understand it at one level, right? And we demagogue, but I think, I mean, when I look at some of the numbers from BP, I don't think I was just demagogue. I broke down the real numbers, right, and what went where. But people are insular, and they get this idea. This is what they're saying about you. So Baldwin County, you're the bad guy. When you're in Shelby County, when you're in Jefferson County, when you're in Madison County, you're Baldwin County, y'all are the bad
well,
guys.
Well,
y'all
yeah,
are
just
a bunch
think
of
about
bad
it.
Guys.
You are sitting in traffic in Calera, Alabama.
Oh, I just did that.
45-minute ride into Birmingham
that
and back.
That place is horrible.
It's awful,
it
right?
is. I agree.
You're sitting there and you hear this and you're thinking, oh, they're taking this problem could be alleviated here. But they're taking this money and they're not fixing this road so that
the
people could go
in Baldwin County,
so that people could go to the beach and drink umbrella drinks and live like you know
right.
eat caviar, drink champagne, and eat snapper or whatever. That's the perception that's being created, and that creates political divisions. That's
yeah.
an effective way to kind of show. So I don't think that's the reality. That's a perception that's being created, and I think it does kind of turn the heat up on local lawmakers to kind of steer more money to these places in Shelby County that I would argue are neglected to some degree.
But you'll see how this works, right? Also, I want to kind of switch, and we'll still talk some state items this hour, but our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question is, what will be the national results for the midterm elections? And basically, without getting into specific races, we can talk about Alabama, but the choices we gave you, the Republicans will keep the House and Senate, will retain control of the House and Senate. The Republicans will keep the House, Democrats will take the Senate. And the next choice, Democrats will win the House, Republicans will keep the Senate. And last one, Democrats win the House and Senate. Right now, y'all are saying 75% Republicans keep House and Senate. Second choice here, Republicans keep the House, Democrats win the Senate is number two on here. We'll let you kind of...
That's crazy.
There you go. So is that crazy talk? You're going to score the midterms. We'll get your questions as well when we come back and comments. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Reminder, tonight, another great night at Havana Rays as they're having their grand opening this weekend. Actually started last night with a Gurkha cigar event, but goes tonight, tomorrow, and even Sunday. It is Mobile's only upscale cigar shop and lounge, and they're celebrating their grand opening all weekend long. So tonight, 6 o'clock, Maker's Mark tasting, plus we'll have live music with Ryan Balthrop, who, yes, as I said this morning, was... I don't think they were dating. I don't think they were old enough, but was going together with my wife, and you know, decades and decades ago. And... You know, I've got my issues with Ryan, but he is a talented musician. We take it back to some seventh grade stuff, Ryan, man. We're throwing down.
Got a slow dance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with the ruler, with the nuns breaking out the ruler.
Oh, that's right. You went to Catholic school.
She was at the Catholic school, yeah. So the ruler was kept between those two, I hope. Come on, sisters. I hope so. And so tonight you got that. Tomorrow, by the way, also 20% all Z-Car off all Z-Car products, $4 mojitos, and continuous free giveaways, raffles all weekend long. Then tomorrow, Southern Prohibition. I forget which one I had like 2 weeks ago. I like their beer. Southern Prohibition beer tasting starts at 11 tomorrow morning, goes through 1. And then a Jack Daniels tasting at 6. And for the beer drinkers, $2 domestics and free food all day. And yeah, they've got 6 TVs, so they'll have the football games on as well. Make sure if you're a Bama fan like I am and waiting on the end of the game tomorrow to light up, get your Alabama football victory cigar at Havana Rays. And to wind down the weekend celebration, come relax on Sunday. $5 Bloody Marys and $3 mimosas in one of their comfy leather club chairs. Havana Rays Cigar Shop and Lounge celebrating their long-awaited opening with specials for y'all. And 10% of proceeds going to hurricane relief as well. Make your destination this weekend, Havana Rays Cigar Shop and Lounge, 2351 Airport Boulevard. Details online, HavanaRays.com. Okay, so but if we went to the break, I was talking about the results here from our online opinion poll question that we posted up this morning, giving you 4 choices, I don't think we missed one, but your 4 choices of how this would break down after the midterms. In other words, right now, Republicans control the House and Senate. Okay, after the midterms, will the House and Senate, one be in the hands of Republicans, one be in the hands of Democrats? Which one, or will they be in the hands both of Democrats? Right now, leading the charge here would be that the House and Senate remain in control of Republicans. 75% respondents say that. And you say...
Just my straight-up handicapping, there's no way the Democrats can win the Senate. The math's just not there.
Okay.
The idea that they can stage a comeback, that a lot of things would have to happen. The Democrats are going to lose seats in the Senate. I think that's a given. I think the Kavanaugh hearings really made that, solidified that. Just because I think Heidi Heitkamp's going to lose. I think Heller's going to hang on. I think Sinema in Arizona's going to lose. I think Marsha Blackburn's going to win Tennessee. I think all these races that could have been potentially picked up by Democrats aren't going to be picked up by Democrats. And Florida. Florida's another big one. I think Rick Scott is in a position to beat Bill Nelson in Florida. That's going to be a pickup. I think they're going to gain seats in the Senate. The math's not there. If you go back to 2006, there was a lot of Democrats that won because of the sourness of the war. Mm-hmm. That's where you had all these Democrats come in. In 2012, they ran on Obama's coattails. A lot of more, like Claire McCaskill, were able to hold on to their seat.
Mm-hmm.
We're at 2018. Things are going to get back to normal in some of these states that could go either way. And I think the momentum, the shift there is we need somebody different, or we like what Trump's doing, and the enthusiasm is kind of on Trump's side in some of these states. House is totally different. So the House, I still think it's a greater than 50% chance, but probably less than 60% chance that the Democrats take the House. It's going to be close. I think some of these...
It's not a for sure thing that the Democrats win the House. Because for a lot of people, we're saying a month and a half, 2 months ago, that this is a for sure
thing. Yeah, I sincerely believe probably a month and a half, 2 months ago, that it was going to be a Democrat night for the House. What changed was the Kavanaugh hearings. And it's not so much that people just decided to like change their opinion about Republican or Democrat. Republican voters saw this and it lit a fire under them, and now they're like, I want to wage my protest against this Democratic apparatus that, you know, we saw what happened, the way they tried to smear this good man who was going to be a Supreme Court justice, all for the sake of politics. This is how I'm going to levy my protest. I'm going to go out and vote. I think that lit a fire to people, and I think that makes a lot of House races a lot closer. And it puts some House races out of reach for Democrats that they needed to pick up to get control of the House. So I think that's where we're steady. I still think...
So you think it's like 75%? You think... Okay, so Senate, not only retaining control, but gaining seats for the Republicans in the Senate.
So I think
the House, 60% chance the Democrats win.
I'm going to say 51%.
51%. Okay, because you have a story up over at Yellowhammer with Congressman Byrne, AL1's Congressman Byrne, saying the odds are better than 50-50. The GOP keeps the House, and he's saying that Kavanaugh effect thing, too.
Right. Right. And I think a lot of people. So would you talk to. What Congressman Mike Rogers, who's East Alabama's the 3rd District Congressman, he made a good point. He thinks, okay, so August is a bad month for the party in power, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the town halls. It's all the craziness. It's all the things you would expect. Well, McConnell and kept the Senate in because of these hearings. You didn't really have a traditional August recess. Nonetheless, you still had a bad month for Republicans. That's when the polling was really looking very much in a Democratic favor. And this Kavanaugh thing, this is what, going back to the October surprising themselves thing that we were talking about earlier, I think this was the October surprise, kind of a reverse October surprise for Republicans. The Democrats did this to themselves. They kind of showed, they overplayed their hand, and I think that, you know, you already have a fired up, engaged Democratic base. How much more engaged can they get? Just how much can they build off of that? Instead, what they did, they had an opposite reaction.
Mm-hmm.
They way elevated the intensity of the Republican voters, and that's where we're at right now. You suddenly have some motivated Republicans, and this was evident. This was on display last night at that rally in Baldwin County, I think. A lot of people showed up, and that was the buzz sort of talking about that. It's still fresh on people's minds. Now, will it stay fresh on people's minds for another 2.5 weeks? And that's where we...
I think so. I mean, as much as we have short attention spans, 2.5 weeks isn't bad. We'll go to the phones, grab your calls, and David is first up. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Jeff. Jeff and I aren't actually very far off in our predictions. I think it's about a 45% chance that the Democrats take control of the House, because I think they will pick up seats. I just don't think they'll pick up enough to gain back control of the House. So whoever has control of the House, it will definitely be a very slim majority. And I'm in agreement with Jeff that Arizona, Nevada, and Tennessee all remain Republican states, because even before the Kavanaugh mess, the local polling organizations, which you'll always hear me harp on, pay attention to the local polling versus the national polling.
Thank goodness you do, yes.
Always had Republicans polling better than the Democrats in those states. And I think the Republicans pick up the North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp's seat, Missouri, and I think they pick up Florida as well, because even though the polling, even the local polling in Florida before the hurricane had Nelson up by a couple of points, I remember back to 2004 back to Bob Riley. Bob Riley won re-election based off of his response or his administration's response to Hurricane Ivan. And I think Rick Scott being out in the media with his hurricane coverage, being resolute, being the governor, is PR you cannot buy as a campaign. I think that helps push him over the finish line. And if the Republicans have Mike Pence camp out in Indiana the last week of the election, I think they can actually have a chance of getting Donnelly's seat too.
All right.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, I. The Indiana race is an interesting one. I guess it's kind of in reach for Mike Braun. But the only thing I'd quibble with there is I think you may be coming a little hot on the House. I just don't know how that House is going to – I do agree with you. The politics is all local. But this 2.5 weeks, and you think that it's I don't know that it's necessarily going to be fresh on people's minds, this Kavanaugh hearing, because given it happened, 2 weeks ago?
Is it fresh enough to get them off their duff and they go out and vote?
And that's
the key,
and
right?
And then you add to that, make sure it's straight ticket Republican. Is that what's going to happen? Are we sure, you know, that that's going to happen? So when you have a generic ballot right now, the generic ballot shows Democrats with a margin of 10 points or something, something ridiculously high.
Right.
What I think is going on there is these pollsters are looking at these populated areas. That's where all the people are. So you go New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, places like that, Detroit. Got to be Democrat. That's what skews it that way. Where you got to key in is how these local races, I think you get away from that. Get away from the coastal areas. And then, what does this boil down to? This is how you determine who will control the House is, what is the sentiment? Strip out the outliers, and try to figure out what's kind of like in that middle ground. And that's how you kind of figure out the attitude of which way, based on that attitude, which way the House will go. Because right now, the generic ballot doesn't give you a clear picture of that. To me, if you just pick random XYZ congressional district in, what's a good swing state? Ohio or Iowa or
Pennsylvania?
Maybe a Bucks County or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I-4 corridor, right?
Mm-hmm.
what is the attitude? Is it that Trump's this vulgarian and he's just this awful oaf? That seems to be the prevailing sentiment that we've dealt with for the last several years or the last couple of years. Or is it, oh my gosh, this Kavanaugh stuff so crazy. These people are out of control.
See, I hear that. And of course, I don't believe I have a scientific sample.
It's hard.
But
in
I have
Alabama.
People. But I have people that said, I had, now this is what folks claim, and David, I appreciate the call, but I have folks claim that they're people that had either grudgingly voted for Trump or maybe didn't vote for Trump. But with what happened in the, like you said, the October surprising themselves, the Democrats rolling out their full frontal and dirty tricks assault against Kavanaugh, in these people's opinion, they said, you know what, I'm showing up and I'm voting, and I'm voting, you know, my proxy here for my disgust with what happened. You know, does that, I always ask the mean hard questions, do they do that if the economy wasn't doing so good? Would they be, because you can say, well, I'm not really about what Trump's doing, but you're going, man, the economy's doing good. But I'm there for Kavanaugh.
Well,
it doesn't matter. Though, you still show up and vote, you know?
I think that's your foundation. The economy's doing well. That's what you
do. So I wonder how that varies.
You've got to kind of build up off of that. And
what gets you off your seat more to go vote? Whether you want to, you know, take a political scalp back for what happened to Kavanaugh, or you want to make sure that paycheck keeps coming in and
it's
your
not
business
so much,
keeps going.
It's not so much that. I think, you know, that the economy question, that's your swing voter question.
Yeah.
The Kavanaugh thing is getting people motivated that are Republican voters anyway, and just getting them to show up on election day versus how many Democrats can turn out. It's running up the score with your base.
All right. There you go. Coming right back. More with Jeff Poore. And we'll grab some calls and texts. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Let's check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and see what's happening. We were talking about those unique pieces of jewelry the other day. You got any more of those for us to check out?
As a matter of fact, we just posted some more pictures up there on the Facebook page, and we've got some of those available to look at the shop. So if you're in the area, we're at 2204 Government Street, shoot on by and take a look. I got to tell you, most of the really cool pieces sell off of Facebook before they ever get put out in the cases here at the shop.
Aha. So you got to be monitoring the Facebook feed.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we had three people all got excited about a ring the other day, and of course, it's first come, first served, so somebody says, yep, I want it. And, you know, that afternoon, somebody else comes in, and it was already gone. And then a day later, the third person comes in. It's like, y'all need to just move a little bit faster.
Okay. Well, if we don't, you know, we can come in and check out things that are already put out. Also, let's talk about precious metals. What's the play right now? Where's the better move? Is it silver? Is it gold? What are you looking at?
It's still silver, but we've tried to help everybody out as well. We've picked up a lot of 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagles. Those are always extremely popular and affordable. Gold right now is around $1,225 an ounce. So, you know, buying a whole ounce of gold at around $1,300 out of your budget is a little tough. You can usually pick up one of those 10th-ounce pieces for around $135, $140.
Yeah, a little closer to my budget for sure. And what about on, like, open-L knives? How are you looking? I know that you had a kind of a run on those the other day.
We did, but we stocked up really well. As a matter of fact, we've got a bunch of the colored keychain knives in. Those have been selling like mad, and a huge stack of the outdoor knives as well. So open L's, great stock on those, and I think only one of those specialty knives, or maybe none of those. All the cool knives we ordered, we're really limited on those, but the open L's are looking good, Sean.
All right, good deal. Tell us how to come down and see you at the shop.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. And you can also find us on Facebook. Just look up Mobile Bay Coins there. And we will be here tomorrow till about 2 o'clock.
All right. Very good, Angelo. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good weekend, Sean.
All right. You too. Angelo, checking in for Mobile Bay Coins. A couple things here. And by the way, if you're just joining us, our buddy Jeff Poore is in studio. And my friend's here hanging out on a Friday. That's a good thing. He's, of course, with Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. And so we've run through some kind of what your prediction. Like, you, not only do you think the Republicans keep the Senate, they make hay. They get some extra.
Yeah, they're going to gain.
Which means, what does it mean for, okay, let me roll out the scenario. So So the Senate firmly in control. Filibuster proof?
No, we're not going to get to 60 okay. votes. Okay. No, so no.
But a better margin than we have now.
Well, yeah. So, for example, if you have another Supreme Court vacancy, you're
yeah,
not...
That's where you know where I'm going, yeah.
You're not worried about what Lisa Murkowski is going to do. You know, right. You're
you
not worried
to
about...
have Joe Manchin come over, you know.
And obviously, you don't have to worry about Bob Corker or Jeff Flake anymore because you're right. going to have some Republicans in there that will play ball with McConnell, and they'll do what McConnell probably wants them to do. They're not going to be lame duck Republicans. So I think that's less of a question. I think what you saw with this Kavanaugh stuff is unlikely to be replicated in the near term. Now, over the next 2 years, should Trump get another Supreme Court vacancy?
Ginsburg.
And I think, well, you said it, not me. But I think it also, there's other confirmations. There's other things, you know, there's other judicial appointments.
We keep getting told that there's this huge backlog of Trump. Is that true? Is that
true? That is true. And McConnell's kind of playing games here. He's being disingenuous here. You know, now, there are different rules depending on the appointment. But McConnell's been really protective of this. He hasn't allowed Trump to do recess appointments. He's gaveled in the Senate to keep it from going into recess so that Trump could do recess appointments, which is really strange.
What's the political play there?
I think he just... My guess is that he likes to have that leverage over Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to have those bargaining chips. He, you know, hey, you're going to call me a turtle on Twitter. Not mm-hmm. so fast.
Right,
you know, like,
right.
Or whatever it may be. My belief is that McConnell's using his leverage. Hey, I need you to go make an appearance here in Nevada for my boy Dean Heller.
Right, right.
Those are the kind of things. That's just how the game's played, because Trump could say, no, you know, I'm the
sure.
president of the United States.
Right.
Get bent.
Yeah.
But...
I should probably say more than that.
I mean, essentially, Mitch McConnell is Frank Underwood. He is the guy. He's always scheming. He may look like a turtle or whatever, yeah. but he is a... You know, he is cocaine Mitch. He is a guy that's...
Yeah, he's no dummy.
He knows how to play the game. He knows how to fundraise. He knows all the right buttons to push. Now, it didn't work for him in Alabama. He could not...
No.
He could not do anything with Luther Strange in Alabama. But if you want to know who has purse strings and who has clout in that regard, Mitch McConnell isn't... He is a guy you would prefer to have on your side rather than having to fight against.
So, okay, that scenario that you've got the Senate in the hands of the Republicans, so what changes? I mean, let's say the Democrats have the House, but the spending comes out of the House, purse strings in the House, but the things that get the most, you know, it's like we don't talk about fiscal issues that much other than the economy doing good, but I mean, look how much in debt we are, look how much we add on to the debt. You know, the things I've realized over the years, it's only taken me, you know, 5 or 6 years, 7, 8, 9, to realize that there's only about 10% of us that are really interested in fiscal issues. And so everything else is on confirmation or social or these kind of things. And so if that's where you're going to make your hay, aren't you better off if you had to lose one of the bodies, right? You lose the House.
No, the power's all in the House.
For spending, but the Democrats are going to spend as much as Trump wants them to spend.
Right. Well,
Trump has been, he's not exactly been a thrifty, you know? I mean, now he's moved areas and reallocated, but spends money to make money, right?
But that's, you know, you want to do the oversight and you want to do all these things. The hearings and stuff like that really happen in the House. I think when we talk about the purse strings.
Yeah, but confirmations that have gotten the bigger, you know.
The confirmations, because it's a much... Believe it or not, it's a much simpler process than the whole budgetary process.
Right, but they can spend anything they want out of the House, and if the Kentucky Turtle takes it and puts it in the bottom desk drawer, it goes nowhere.
Right.
In other words, bills can come out of the House, and the Senate can just ice them.
Well, then you have a situation where the government shuts down. You have the same situation you had when Obama was president, Harry Reid was majority leader, and you had John Boehner as the speaker. So, you know... Not a whole lot happened on that side after 2010. So maybe that's kind of where we're headed right now if the Democrats get the House. I don't think it's a given, though. When we were talking, and you and I was going on the air with you, I think, since early 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking right before that election. You felt the Tea Party. You felt all these things happening.
Yeah.
You knew that it wasn't looking good for the Democrats.
Right.
It may not be looking good for the Republicans, but those clouds aren't as dark on the horizon as they were for the Democrats back then. So,
okay.
My point is that, you know, if you have to lose one, you know, that's a philosophical argument. But I just,
it's a fun one though.
I do wonder though that maybe things aren't as bad as they seem for Republicans right now, are they? That they should be.
Are the bombs, right? So the national narrative, Ryan, if I would pick up a script from national conservative talkers, today I should have been talking bobs versus jobs, right? That's the talking point.
Line,
that's today's talking points. But I will take part of that and say, are the mobs here? Are the screams of a rising blue tide, or are they the wails of a falling effort? You know what I'm saying? The last throws of something that is not resonating, which is, you know, I mean, does this mean, are those mobs, is the AstroSurf stuff representative of anything?
Here's the hiccup, Sean. When we talk about the House and the Senate, which you'd rather have, the House is going to, if it goes to Democrats, you're going to have hearings. And
right,
where does impeachment start?
Yeah.
Starts in the House.
Yeah.
So that's going to jeopardize a lot of what Trump is trying to do, and you know, with the House in Democratic hands, I think, and that will really kind of change what's going on and the way things are going. It could threaten the economy, it could threaten the stock market, do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
good point.
Gridlock may be great in theory for you libertarians, right? Like, oh yeah, but at some point,
all seven of us left. Yes,
if you really want to roll back regulations and do all these things that Trump is doing, you kind of need a Congress that will somewhat play ball, and I think that's you know, that if they lose the Senate, let's say for example that some of your listeners are right and the Democrats take the Senate and Republicans keep the House, I think you're in a lot better shape if you're looking at it just purely from a Trump administration standpoint, because what are the chances that you're going to get another Supreme Court vacancy? I don't know.
Which ones exactly? I mean, because I would argue that if you for sure we're going to get one, if you want to talk about long-term conservative values, your better play is to have the Senate to get the confirmation of the justice. But yeah, quite honestly, I mean, if you know what's going to happen in the next 2 years, you know, but you can be morbid and play the games they do online. Oh, it's the, you know, Supreme Court justice death clock or whatever. But I mean, come on, the folks can lay with things for a couple years till there's a new boss in town, if they think there is one coming. Before we wrap up here, I want to run through a couple. And first of all, too, the October surprise themselves story, that's over at lanyapmobile.com. You've got a story over at yellowhammernews.com today about the 50-50.
Yeah, so we got three stories coming out of that Fair Up event last night. Just general wrap-up of where Baldwin County voters are. I've been traveling to the state, so this is kind of like a three-day tour. I did Dale County this week. I did Coffee County and Enterprise, and then last night was Baldwin County. And you kind of get the local flair. But also, Governor Ivey's remarks on Medicaid expansion, and Bradley Byrne thinks it's a 50-50 shot that they keep the House.
So, I mean, so y'all go, I mean, you can either, we'd love you to go to lanyapmobile.com, go to yellowhammernews.com, you go
to brettbard.com/video.
Or if they kind of want to, like, go to the clearinghouse,
twitter.com/Jeff_poor.
See what he said. All right, one last thing for you to score before we wrap up, because Ed Rowland's going to be in here to close it out this hour. Lotto. It's going to come up. I know. I mean, Mac McCutcheon, does it pass?
It passes. I think it passes. And
in this session.
Yeah, I think they're kind of with the reality. They need a source of revenue. And what was big to me was when Robbie McGee, the Porch Creek Indian, said he's not going to oppose it if they do, that he doesn't see it really be competing with their casino interest.
That says a lot.
I think if it gets on the ballot and they have it as a referendum, I think the people voted in. I don't think you have the opposition like you had in 1999.
And maybe it's just people, they can work off the excitement people will have watching tonight. Mega Millions, $970 million.
If I'm Walt Maddox, I am running an ad tonight. You don't want to have to drive to Florida, Georgia, or Tennessee to get your lottery tickets. You should have voted for me next month.
There you go. You could be paying your stupid tax for $970 million or $430 million right here at home.
Right. Save the gas money. But then the gas tax.
You're right. It's a double-edged sword. It's Jeff Poor. As always, man, thanks.
Thanks for having me in.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
talking with my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino. You know, last time you and I were together, we were talking about football, as always, and I was thinking about this. Not only is it true having the experience to see that defense come in, like you and I talked about last time, but also the idea of having a proven commodity. As we hear every year, you and I talk recruiting, the Tide's going to get this player, Auburn's going to get this player. Mm-hmm. They're unproven.
That's right. You know, just like in college recruiting, you know, you have got these star players, the 3-star, 4-star, 5-star
players.
This
is the next big thing.
Right. And everybody is just, anxiously awaiting this next player. But until he gets on the field, you really have no idea. And every true college football fan that's honest knows that. Well, it's the same thing in the practice of law. I mean, you know, there are attorneys out there that are selling themselves as the greatest lawyers in the world. But do they get in the courtroom? That's where.
Yeah, how many snaps have they had? Stick with it here. Yeah.
That's right. You know, and I'd like to see those attorneys that tout themselves as so great get in the courtroom, and that's what we do. And we may not advertise as much because we don't have time because we're in the courtroom, but that's where greatness is forged.
Yeah, the quarterback that sits there with the headset on the clipboard doesn't win any football games. It is the quarterback that's taken the snap, that's on the field, and that has seen those defenses laid out in front of him.
Just like in the practice of law, just like with the lawyer that you're selecting, make sure that you're choosing someone that knows how to finish the case. If they don't know how to finish the case, then your case is in trouble from the very beginning.
Yeah, but that is overwhelming to think about. Here's a scenario in the court of law where you would never put somebody who was completely inexperienced in football up against a pro team. But in the world of legal, in the world of law, that said, if you don't know what you're doing, that's where you end up.
Well, you can talk as big as you want to in the practice of law, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that do. But when it comes time to go to court, that's where you're going to put your money where your mouth is. And if you don't know what you're doing, just like on the college football field or the pro football field, you're going to get shown your hand if you don't know what you're doing.
And the difference here is we only get one game. We only get one time to go to trial. Even with all we're talking about with the football team, they can go back the following Saturday and do this again. This is our one chance at getting justice.
When somebody has been hurt and their life has been changed, it's a tremendous pressure because, you do have that one time to help them or change their life because they're financially destitute.
Yeah, even though you've had the experience of taking all the snaps, being in all those courtrooms, for us, this is the one big championship game. Everything's riding on that.
Yep, and that's what I tell the jury, that I've been living this case for X number of years, and that, to them, this may not seem a big deal or whatever, but this is the one opportunity that we have that we've been waiting for several years to get here and to speak to them. And I think they appreciate that, and I think my clients do as well, because we have that one opportunity. It's either won or lost right there.
Yeah, it's the biggest game of our lives, and we'd love to have somebody quarterback in that who feels the same way. So talk to folks here. They have that situation, this thing that's happened to them, that like you and I have talked about in the past. I love it. You go through and you say, is it your fault? No. Okay. Did you do something to contribute? No. Are you injured? Are you, then these, if you answer those questions yes, then they need to get in touch with you.
Right. I mean, obviously, people aren't going to call me who are at fault for their injuries. I mean, and if you're not at fault for your injuries, what do you have to feel guilty for? So I spend a lot of time, trying to remove any type of guilt for protecting your own rights as an American citizen.
It's a fair question, though, for somebody to ask themselves, hey, am I injured? Have I lost? And was it my fault?
Absolutely. And if it's not your fault, then you should be compensated fairly. And what's wrong with being treated fairly? Isn't that what this country's about?
That's right. And make sure we have a good QB when we line up out there. Okay, people want to talk to you about their case, their situation. Just even have a consultation just to find out what your take on it is. How do they get in touch with you, Ed?
You can call us at 433-3131 here in Mobile, or you can Google Taylor Martino Law Firm, Mobile, Alabama, and you will definitely find us.
Ed, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Sean.
Ed Brown with Taylor Martino.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.